for Jesus, Jesus is going to come. But to appreciate the light, you got to start with the darkness. There, if you were catching up at home, that's what you missed. So we're talking about all these fun things, and we're going to start with this. Have you ever been on your way to something important? You're wearing nice clothes, and you're maybe running a little late, trying to juggle too many things like we all do, and this happens. Ugh, the coffee stain. Ah, somebody jostles you in the hall, or you're trying to carry too much stuff, or the person at Starbucks didn't quite put the lid on right, and now you've got this stain on your shirt, but you don't have time to go home and change. And you're maybe making an important presentation, or you're about to step in front of a group of people, or maybe you've got some place to be, and you've got this stain. So I'm going to ask you which one you are, because you probably fall into one of these three categories, all right? Which one are you? Do you try to fix it? Or do you just ignore it? Now, when I say ignore it, I mean like, you know, the strategic placement. So for example, like the stain is here, the strategic placement would be to put your day planner and say, hey, how you doing? That's good to see you. Purse, backpack, man purse, whatever you've got, right? You just try to hide it. Maybe you button a jacket or put on a jacket or something. You know, that kind of person, that kind of ignore it, right? Or the third one is the one I appreciate the most. Just wear it, just own it. Yeah, I spilled coffee, so what? It'll probably happen again. In fact, there we go, right? Why not? They just don't care, right? I admire those people. I also kind of wonder about those people. So you're probably one of these. Do you try to fix it? You know, like, I'm going to do this, go to the bathroom, you get the paper towels, and then you try to rub it with the water. Who's ever done this, right? And then you get all the little, what do they call those things? The things that fall off the paper towel, and you look like you got leprosy or something like that, you know? I'm probably the only guy that's ever done that, right? But what happens when we do that is it generally doesn't work, and it's going to make a weird impression on other people. No matter what you do, doesn't matter, right? Now, this is actually an analogy for what happens in our spiritual life, because that stain that we have could also be called sin. If we spiritualize everything, and quite frankly, that's my job, so I'm going to spiritualize a coffee stain. Yeah, there you go. So stain is like sin. And when we have sin, we do one of these three things. We either try to fix it ourselves, or we try to ignore it and kind of sweep it under the rug, or we just are resigned to it. So maybe you're the spiritual equivalent of this. The people who try to fix their sin are the people who will say things like, well, if I just try harder, I'll just do better next time. My willpower has got to be stronger. Or I'll try harder in that if I do enough good works, it will offset the fact that I have sin in my life. All right? There are actual whole religions based on the fact that if you do enough good works, you're going to be okay. That's not our religion. That might be bad news if you're works-based, but it's great news if you're faith-based, right? More on that later. So the first group tries to fix it. Maybe they try to work it out. You'll see other things start to creep in as well, trying to do good deeds, trying to use your willpower, just a couple of those. The ignore it crowd. This is the crowd that is trying to hide it or pretend like it doesn't exist. So they will tend to deny the fact that they have sin in their life. You know, it's just that thing that I just kind of sweep that under the rug. We don't really pay attention to that, right? Or the other way that we can deny it and ignore it is to numb ourselves. Now, there's a million ways to numb yourself in today's society. You know, the old standby used to be, substance abuse. You know, alcohol, drugs, whatever. But now you've got this thing called a phone. And you can actually numb your mind with the smartphone. The smartphones are making us dumb, I'm convinced, right? You can go on social media and you can scroll for hours and pretend like everything's okay. In fact, that will reinforce it because everybody puts the good stuff on social media. You see how wonderful life is and how successful people are. And then you get that ad that says, you know, if you just do this program and buy this app, you can make about $1,800 a month, passive income. And then you're fascinated by that. So you go down that rabbit hole and you figure out all these things that they're trying to sell you. Because it's all about this, right? At the end of the day, is it not? But we try to numb ourselves in a million different ways. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is for you. There's a million different ways, but we try to ignore that sin. But the stain is still there. It doesn't matter if I've got a stain here and I'm standing like this and you can't see it. It doesn't matter that you can't see it. The stain is still there. And it's going to stay there until we do something about it. Until you run to the bathroom and rub paper towels and get leprosy, right? The third one, we just wear it. Yeah, I'm a sinner. You'll see this in language when people say things like, yeah, you know, I really should work on my temper, but, you know, that's just the way I am. That's the way my dad was, his dad. That's just the way I am. I'm resigned to that fact. Or I'm resigned to whatever else that you've got in your life. It's like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. The enemy's greatest trick is to convince you that that thing you did is who you are. That is a lie. That is not true. The bad thing that you did is not your identity. The bad thing that you did is a thing called sin. And there's a thing called forgiveness that takes away that sin. That's not who you are. You are and always will be a child of God by faith in God, by faith in Jesus Christ, specifically. That's one of the enemy's most common tricks, is to try to get us just to accept it and go, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm helpless. I guess I'll just keep doing it. The example that I've heard before is if you break the speed limit and you get a ticket from the police and now you're identified as a speeder, do you go out the next day and go, well, you know, I'm a speeder now. That's my identity. So there's no point following the speed limit. I mean, it's just going to happen, right?
All of Texas.
Yeah. No, you're probably going to come to your senses and go, oh, wait, there's rules for a reason and maybe I should pay attention. But we don't do that with our sin. We generally fall into one of these three categories. And the more we try to fix it, the worse it gets. The more we try to ignore it, the more it grows. Because this isn't just a stain when you spiritualize it. It's more like a cancer that grows. If you try to ignore it, you're giving it fertile ground to grow. That's what the enemy wants. And by the way, if you're doing the third one, you're just owning it. You're actually accelerating the growth. It's like adding fertilizer to that sin. None of this is God's desire. So how do we deal with this? Well, we need to talk about a couple of things, and we're going to ask one very important question today. We're going to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, and it's one of the bigger books in the Old Testament because Isaiah had a lot to say. And Isaiah had a lot to say because the people of Israel were giving him a lot to talk about. They were doing some crazy things. They were worshiping other gods. They had turned away from their God. They were doing literally child sacrifices, if you can believe this. Yeah, and they were promoting things that promoted violence and injustice in their culture. Definitely not what God would want them to do. So Isaiah the prophet comes, and it's time to tell some truth. Sometimes truth hurts. Isaiah had a lot to say. So what we're going to get into today is a brief history of how we can be saved. Because here's the thing. You may look at a guy like Isaiah and say, wow, it must be wonderful to be the mouthpiece of God. You just hear from him all the time and you say things. Folks, you are the mouthpiece of God today. And you don't necessarily have to hear a voice from heaven to help people see where we're headed. History tends to repeat itself. And those who don't learn from it are destined to suffer the same lessons that people in the past have suffered. And that's what Isaiah is basically saying. It's like, Israel, come on. We've been down this road. The men's group right now is studying the book of Judges. If you ever want to look at a microcosm of what it's like to be human throughout history, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. You follow God, you don't. You worship others, you worship God again. This is what Isaiah is saying. We're on track to do this again. Is this what you really want? And so Isaiah's cry here as he reads, as we're going to read in 64, it's a little bit of a long reading, but I want you to get not just what he's saying. I want you to get the emotion behind what he's saying. He's pleading to God to make himself known because apparently he's turned his face and has been forgotten. And people aren't following him anymore. And the same could be said today in many circumstances. And it's not that we're always anti-God so much as pro everything else. We're so busy. We're so distracted. It's that number two category, the ignore it, the numbing, the just overpower yourself with information so you can't focus on anything. And I think the enemy rejoices in that. So let's turn to Isaiah 64. It's a long reading, but again, I want you to get the emotion of this. And the whole question of the day is, how can we be saved? Because if we don't know the answer to that, we've got to go back to the drawing board. Because that is the most important thing as we begin this walk with Jesus. How can we be saved? And maybe if you're confident that you've got the answer for you, then ask the question for others. How can we be saved? Not how I can be saved. How can we, as a family, as a workplace, as a culture, be saved. Let's listen to the words of Isaiah. He's talking, he's crying out to God. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, nor eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean. Our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We are all shriveled up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Look on us, we pray, for we are your people. These are the words of God for the people of God. And for these words, we are grateful.
Amen.
Did you hear the emotion? God, show yourself. Remind us of who you are. When you worked in the past, you came down and mountains trembled. Have you ever seen mountains? They're huge. They're majestic. They trembled when God shows up. That's the God he's talking about, and this is the God that people are ignoring. How could you ignore that? How could you ignore one that makes mountains tremble? Well, it's pretty easy when you focus on self, when you turn your attention away from him to other things. And that's exactly what Israel has done. They've turned themselves away. I want to zero in and unpack this passage a little bit because there are four similes in this passage. I bet you didn't know I knew that word, did you? I Googled it. Yes, that's what I did. Because it said there were similes, and I said, well, what's that? A simile is like a metaphor. Simile, you know a simile because it has the word like or as. We are like the wind, right? That's a simile. There you go. You don't even have to go to school for that. So there are four similes in this passage, and it goes like this. First one is we're like unclean, like your shirt with a stain. It's unclean. But this is a soul with a stain. And that's a little bit more important when it comes to spiritual laundry, if you will. The second one is that we're like filthy rags. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to clean anything, but generally you try to clean things with a clean rag, and the clean rag takes away the filth, and then you either wash or dispose of the rag. But when you start with a filthy rag, how's your cleaning gonna go? Not so good. Right? You might expect that from your, you know, four-year-old. You wouldn't expect that from a grown adult, right? You should know that you clean with a clean rag, and then you fix the rag, right? But in our spiritual world, in our spiritual life, as Isaiah is describing it, we are like filthy rags. We want to clean. We want to help other people, but we're starting from a very big negative with so much sin weighing on us. The third one is we're like a shriveled leaf. I don't know if you know anything about leaves, but they actually serve a purpose in the growth of that plant. Photosynthesis is required for that plant to grow. The leaf is the mechanism that catches the energy of the sun and provides the power for the growth of the plant. So what happens if the leaf is shriveled? There's no photosynthesis. What happens if there's no photosynthesis? Easy for me to say. There's no life. Without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are separated from this, if you are a shriveled leaf, you're not able to absorb what God has to offer. So you can see how this starts to fall apart. It starts to fall downhill. And then the last one is we're like the wind. We have no anchor. We're just blown about by whatever culture throws our way. We have no ability to stand our ground. We have no truth to stand on. Some would say we have no spine. I disagree heartily. If God is in it, I disagree heartily. Now notice there's a layer, there's a process to this, I should say, not a layer. There's a process. It starts out as unclean. Okay, I recognize there's a problem, but I don't do anything about it. Maybe I progress to stage two. Now, stage two is I become that filthy rag because I haven't done anything about it. I'm still filthy. I'm out there trying to do the right thing, but I'm starting from that negative. And if I don't do anything about the filthy rag, maybe that blocks my ability to absorb what God has for me and become the shriveled leaf. A shriveled leaf on a plant is basically worthless. It's dead, but it doesn't know it yet. It's a matter of time before the whole plant becomes affected, because there's no energy from the sun coming through photosynthesis. You don't want to be that shriveled leaf, because that's the tipping point. To me, that's the tipping point. Once you get there, it's an inevitable decline. And that's the bad news. That's us, though. That's not God. So stay tuned for more. Don't check out on me yet. But once we become the shriveled leaf, we have nothing. We fall off the plant, right? So when the wind blows, it just takes us wherever it wants. We're powerless to counter culture. We're powerless to stand against sin. We just go where the wind blows. That's bad news. Bill, I thought this was Advent. I thought this was Christmas. I thought this was cheer time. I'm not done yet. Remember, I said we have to look at the darkness before we can appreciate the light. All of this is true. But all of this is not the whole story where God is involved. So God can do amazing things. So how do we do this? Well, we take it to God. We take this stain to God. And the washing machine is the best example I could come up with. Why? Because it's outside of us, first of all. It takes a source of clean, pure water, also outside of us. Comes through us, maybe it roughs you up a little bit, because sometimes the recognition that I'm a sinner and the consequences of the sin that I've had, even though I'm forgiven, there are still consequences, and sometimes they beat us around a little bit, don't they? And you throw in a little bit of detergent and this thing happens and it takes that stain and it sends it away. It carries it away and there is no more stain. That's Jesus. Right now, sometimes in our life, we try to do this on our own. That's the willpower. That's the, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. That's the ignoring. That's all that stuff. We try to make it look good. And scientists will help us out with that, right? They'll give you better living through chemistry. They'll give you, hey, if you just listen to this podcast, you're going to do super. Hey, if you just buy my product online, you'll never have problems again. You'll have the relationships wired, all this stuff. I view that to like adding OxyClean. Anybody familiar with OxyClean, right? So yeah, it's a boost to what's happening, and it's scientifically made by man. And sometimes it'll get the stain out, and sometimes it won't. Although if you do use OxyClean, I'm not getting a paid endorsement for this. It is amazing stuff, right? It gets all kinds of stains out. It's amazing. Anyway, so we try to add something. We try to add something as we work with God too. Hey God, if I read the Psalms all of this month, will you do this for me? That's OxyClean, right? That's me trying to add something. It's a work. It's me trying to add something to me being right with God again. Hey, God, if I volunteer at WordServe's Operation Christmas Child, will you be nice to me? No, we try to add things on. And no matter how much we try, this might clean your shirt. OxyClean might clean your shirt. It's not going to clean your soul. And that's what we're talking about. Don't forget, we're spiritualizing everything today, right? We need to worry about cleaning our soul. But as I just said, we can't do that. It has to be an outside source that is pure, that works through us and takes what we have away from us. This is all outside of us. And so I want to introduce you to a new product that has not hit the shelves yet. It's not a new product, actually. It's a very ancient product. You've heard of OxyClean, but have you heard of Orthodoxy Clean? I bet you haven't, because it doesn't exist. Oh, I had fun with an AI generator. What can I say? So it's this Jesus that comes into this picture. He takes care of all of that. He's like the washing machine. You don't have to add anything to Jesus. Jesus adds things to us. As he takes us away, he cleanses us. It's amazing the sense of relief that you feel. If you have invited Jesus to take your sin away, it feels like the weight of the world has been lifted from you. And what the enemy will try to do as soon as you have that experience, he will immediately start adding weight back to you. Now, he won't do it all at once. That would be too obvious. It would be like you, oh man, I feel so free. Hey, hold this 100-pound weight. Ooh, no, I'm not going to do that. What he'll do instead is he'll hand you a little 5-pound weight. Then he'll wait a week and he'll find you another 5-pound weight. And over the course of a month, you're holding 100 pounds and you don't know why you got back to where you were. What? How did this sneak back into my life? Because the enemy is sneaky. That's why. But orthodoxy clean is more powerful, more lasting. In fact, it lasts forever. And if you buy one now, just kidding. So think about this. What do we do with this, though, specifically? There are a couple of things, there are a couple of R's I want to share with you. The first is we need to recognize where we're at. We need to recognize that this is not something that we can deal with, this idea of sin. We also need to recognize that you are not alone in this. If you live in this fallen, broken world, you have experienced sin. And again, the thing that we do doesn't make our identity. There is a big condition called sin. It's the broken world we live in. We are wired. We have been twisted in the wires, so to speak. But God is ready to untwist the wires, to restore what we have. But we have to recognize that we cannot do this alone. So no matter what self-help program, no matter how much willpower we try to do with this, that's not going to be enough. That's not a bad thing to add to the mix, but the thing must remain the thing, and the thing is Jesus, his ability to take our sin away. And our desire then to follow that as a result of the freedom that we encounter, the relationship that we have with Jesus. So what I would encourage you to do over the course of this Advent season, this is Psalm 139. We actually talked about this last week, Psalm 139. But verses 23, 24, I would love for you to take this and pray this every day. And what I'm going to tell you today for the sermon is I don't want you to get too quickly past the forgiveness and the lightness. I want you to dwell for a week in the heaviness that is sin. I'm like, Bill, that's depressing. No, it's a reality check because it's real. And if we don't dwell in the fact that we are helpless and this weight of the sin can crush us, then we won't appreciate what's about to happen when Jesus arrives on the scene. We want to appreciate the power that he has, that we are powerless to deal with. So I want you to pray this prayer every day for the rest of Advent. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way into me and lead me in the way everlasting. The only other part of that prayer that I would ask you to add is then be willing to follow where he leads. Because he's orthodoxy clean. He's going to give you a path. Will you follow it? He's not going to make you follow the path, but he's going to make a path known. Please walk it. The other R that I'd like to share with you is to return. The Christian word for this would be repent. Just come back. The path that he draws might be the path back to him to start with. And then it might take you to other places. But we have to start by returning. Here's a great verse out of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Purify. That's a pretty absolute word. That's not like make you a little better. That's not like take a rough edges off. Purify means completely clean. From some unrighteousness, no, from all unrighteousness. Do you hear the totality of the language? Purify, 100%, from all unrighteousness, 100%. There's no 99% with God. Jesus didn't give 99% on the cross. He gave 100%. And he gives that to us as a free gift. I can't think of a better Christmas gift that Jesus gave us already. So think about recognize and return. Now, as we put all this together again, I promise it gets better. But I want you to feel the heaviness of sin for just a week. so that we appreciate the lightness of Jesus' grace and forgiveness all the more. I want you to stare into the darkness for a week so that when the light comes, it'll be all the brighter. I got some bad news for us this morning. When it comes to answering the questions, can we save ourselves? How can we save ourselves? We can't. That's bad news. But I got some good news. I know a guy, and he can. In fact, he has.